Hillel,
Shir, given by Gershom Heppner, on Tehillim chapter Tess, given on Sunday, Kaf Aleph Cheshvan, Toshin Samach Zayin, 12th of November, 2006. The Shir should be Le'ilu Nishmas, Reb Dov Beresh, Ben Reb Chaim Halevi, Mr. Beresh Lerner, Zechon Lenevracha, who is Nifter last week, on Yud Zayin Cheshvan Toshin Samach Zayin. He attended quite a few of these Tehillim Shirim before he became ill. He's a good friend, he's the father, of course, of my good friend, Surly. I'm just starting now. Yeah, just starting. Okay. Chapter Tess. Lamnatseach, I'll go through the whole chapter quickly just to get an idea of it. You all right? Yeah. Lamnatseach, al mus labim mizmele David. A song for David on the death of labim. And who this labim is, or what this labim is very much a machlokus and a matter of great discussion amongst the mafarshim. Ode Hashem b'chol libi, I thank Hashem with all my heart. Asapar kol niflo secha, I will speak all your wonders. Es mecha ve'el tzavach, I will rejoice and I will exalt in you. Azam Roshim chayyan, I will sing your praise, sing your name on high. V'shuvay vay ocher, when my enemies retreat backwards, yikoshlu, they are weakened, or they will stumble, that's probably better. V'yovdu mipanecha, and they will be destroyed from before you. Because you do my judgment and my law, you, the righteous judge, sit on your chair or on your throne, meaning a throne of judgment. You have attacked nations. You've destroyed the wicked man, wicked people. You have wiped out their name forever. Ha'oyev, the enemy, tamu charovos lonetzach, his like a churban, a destroyed building, are destroyed forever. Va'arim nosashto, and you have demolished or uprooted the cities. Avad zichram hema, their memory is lost. Yeah, Hashem, but Hakadosh Baruch Hu le'olam yeshiv, he dwells forever. Konin Lamishpot Kiso, he establishes his throne in judgment. The Huyishpot Teva B'Tzedek, and he will judge the world with righteousness. Yadin L'Umim, he will judge peoples B'Mishorim with straightness or with just. With judicially. V'hi Hashem Miskov Ladoch, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall be a tower of strength. Ladoch, for the downtrodden person, crushed person. Miskov, again, a tower of strength, Le'itos Batzorah, for difficult times. V'yivtichu b'choyedei shemecha, and those who know your name will trust in you. Kilo azavta d'ashech Hashem, because you have not forsaken those who seek you, O HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zamril Hashem Yeshiv Tzion, sing to Hashem Yeshiv Tzion, who dwells in Tzion, in Yerushalayim. Hagidav Amim Alilosov, speak among the nations, among the peoples, about his actions. Ki Derish Domim Usam Zachar, because Hashem, he is the Derish Domim, he is the one who seeks out those who have had their blood spilt. Usam Zachar, he remembers them. Lo Shachach Ta'akas Anovim, he does not forget the cry of the poor person. Or the humble person, rather, the humble person. Chananeni Hashem, be gracious to me, Hashem. Re'e oni, see my poverty, misenoi, see my affliction, rather, misenoi, from those who hate me. Meronami, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who brings me up, misharim, avest, from the gates of death. Lamana sapra kol tibesecha, so that I will speak all your praises, b'sharim vach tzion, in the gates of the daughter of Tzion, another expression for Yishalayim. Agila b'shasecha, I will rejoice in your salvation. Tovu ugoyim, the nations have sunk, b'shachas osu, in the pit that they have made, b'reshes zu, in this trap, tamonu, they have become ensnared, or they've become trapped. I'm sorry, mistake. B'reshes zu tamonu, in this trap that they have hidden, milkadaraglom, their foot is trapped. the idea being that they've prepared a trap for someone else, and they themselves got caught in it. No, Hashem is known. Mishpat Asa, he does judgment. Before Al Kapov, through the work of his hands, that's now through the work of the Rosha's hands, no case Rosha, the Rosha is ensnared. He goes in Selah, think about this forever. Yashuva Rishoim Nisha'ola, the Rishoim return to the grave, Kol Goyim Shecheche Elyon, all nations who forget, Shecheche Elokim, all nations who forget Hashem. Kilona Netzach Yishochach Edyon, because the poor person will not be forgotten forever, nor Tikvas Aniyim, nor will the hope of the poor people, Tovab Lo'az, will be lost forever. Guma Hashem, rise up Hashem, Alya Ozenesh, don't let man become too strong. Yishavtu Goyim Aponecho, nations shall be judged before your face. Shisa Hashem, Mora Lahem, Hashem, please place, Mora is fear, Lahem upon them. Yedu Goyim, let the nations know, Enosh Hema, that they are merely man, that they are merely mankind, Selah, forever, or Selah is a musical direction, we haven't said before. Right, that's the chapter. It's the longest one we're tackling so far. So
that's the downfall of the Goyim.
It is, yes. But exactly who is the one whose downfall it is a matter of major machlokes. Right, we'll go through the Pesukim one by one, and we'll see. Now, the first pasuk on this chapter has got absolutely tons and tons of medrashim on it, and we'll try and get through them all. It'll take a long time to move from one pasuk to the other, but I reckon it'll take 3 sessions to do it. Okay. Once again, back to pasuk Aleph. Lam Natseach, a song. It can also mean for the conductor of the Beis HaMikdash choir. Al Mus Labain, over the death of Labain. And who this Labain is a big mystery. Mizrael David, a song for David. So the burning question is, who on earth is Labain? Who or what is Labain? So Rashi brings no less than 5 pshatim as to who this Labain is. It's over the death, this chapter of Tehillim is written to celebrate the death Labain. Who is this Labain? So, pshat number one, given by Rashi, many pshatim Rashi brings, and then he discards them. And other mefarshim bring these pshatim and stick with them. So there's quite a machlokes. So pshat number one, Labain means to the sun, the death of the sun. And Rashi says it's a reference to Avshalom. Avshalom, of course, who began this rebellion against David, and they had this massive war, and of course Avshalom was killed in the war, and the whole rebellion was quashed. So now that the war is over, David celebrates his victory, and he writes this chapter to celebrate Al Mus Labain, over the death of the son. Now, Rashi brings this pshat, but he discards it very quickly. He says, first of all, if it would be the son of David, it would not say Al Mus Labain, it would say Al Mus Habain, on the death of the son, meaning Avshalom, not Labain to the son. So that makes it a bit difficult to understand. And second problem Rashi has with this is that the chapter doesn't seem to address Avshalom in any way. In the introduction, okay, Al Mus Labain, the death of Labain, if you want to learn that's a reference to Avshalom, but the rest of the chapter doesn't seem to deal with Avshalom in any way at all. So Rashi rejects that. I would add another problem with that, and that is that when Avshalom died, of course David was completely grief-stricken over his death. Bani, Avshalom, Bani. I think he says, I wish I could have died instead of you. And David, far from celebrating, was completely broken over it. He had given instructions to Yoav, his nephew, under no circumstances was he to kill Avshalom. And of course Yoav broke that instruction, he did kill Avshalom, thinking it was a good thing to do, and David was completely tzabrochen about it. So that's pshat number one, it's a reference to Avshalom, Labain. A few kashas on that pshat. Pshat number two, says Rashi, is it's a reference to Novol. Now Novol, who came from the Carmel area, David had approached Novol for financial assistance for him and for his army, and Novol had refused it. And that made him into a Murid the Malchus, and David set out to kill him, and of course Novol had a wife, his name was Abigail, who saved Novol's life. That novel has gone down in history as being an ungracious and ungrateful man, and deserved to die. David did not kill him, although he did die very soon later, very soon after. He died 10 days after this. He had a heart attack and he died. And David, of course, married his wife, Abigail. Now, the word Laban spells novel backwards. It's a reference to novel. Laban is reference to novel. And Rashi brings that. But again, Rashi's not happy with that pshat. Because he says, there's no reference, direct reference to novel in the rest of the chapter. So how on earth should it refer to novel? Also, Rashi says, it's such a strange pshat to say that we take a name, novel, and turn it backwards. You know, why on earth turn it backwards? We don't turn names inside out. We don't rewrite names in their anagrams. So why on earth should we refer to novel? Rashi brings a third pshat, and he says that the word Laban is a reference to the colour white, lavon, which is white, and it's a reference to the end of time, when Amalek will finally fall, and the sins of Klal Yisrael will be whitened. Now the word Alamos, I'm sorry, not what's that word? Almus, rather, sorry, Almus, can be understood to come from the word Elem, Ayin Lamed Mem, to take it as one word, Almus, coming from the root Ayin Lamed Mem, which means a young boy. Elem is a young boy, like Almo is a young girl, and Elem is a young boy. And he says it's a reference to Klal Yisrael, who, with the final showdown of Mashiach, when Amalek and others will be finally crushed, Klal Yisrael will return to a state of being like a young child. Elem, like a young child, with no Averis, and will be whitened, will be cleansed of all our Averis. So he says that, says Rashi, based on that, you could learn that the whole chapter is a reference to the downfall. Who's this Almus Laban? It's the final death and the final eradication of Amalek. And he refers to, of course, Pasuk Vav, which we saw moments ago, where Pasuk Vav says, Shemom Mochisa Le'olam Voed. You have wiped out their name forever. Well, that's a good hint to Amalek. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kimacho Emche, I will rub out Amalek, and Timche Zech Amalek at the end of Kiseitse. Timche Zech Amalek, we rub them out. So that helps us to understand that we may well be referring to the downfall of Amalek. That is pshat number three. Pshat number four, says Rashi, is that the word Almus, again, is meant to be understood as one word. That one word is Alomos. One word. And the word Alomos actually appears later on in Tehillim, chapter Mem Vav Pasuk Aleph, and it means, and it's a type of musical instrument.
What?
A musical instrument. Lamnatseach, the Pasuk there, chapter Mem Vav, Lamnatseach Livnei Korach, a song for the conductor for the sons of Korach, Al Alomos Shir. And Alomos there is a musical instrument. And Rashi says it's a reference to the musical instrument. Rashi brings this in the name of Menachem, one of the early Rishonim, who is often quoted by Rashi, who was like a particularly in defining words and the etymology of words and grammar. He often quotes this great Rishon Menachem. So that's how he understands it. And he combines it. He says the word Laban is a reference to Bina, understanding, because the musical directors in the Beis HaMikdash had to have great musical understanding. Oh, it's one for you, Shmuel. Yeah? Had to have great musical understanding. And the word Laban coming from the same word Bina, understanding. Yeah? That's how he understands it. Now, this pshat is echoed by the Radak, who actually quotes another pasuk in Divrei HaYomim. It's Divrei HaYomim Aleph, chapter Tesvav, pasuk Yudches, where some names of the musicians in the Beis Hamikdash are given. There's a list of names there, and the pasuk there reads, "V'imohem," and with them, that's with these various musicians, "Achihem Hamishnim," the secondary
second fiddles.
Lovely, the second fiddles. Thank you. And here are three names: Zechariahu, Bain, V'Ya'aziel. Now that word Bain is one of the musical directors in the Beis HaMikdash. So that word La Bain is going to reference that David is referring to a particular musician whose name was Bain. La Bain, yeah? So that sits in. Oh, amazing pshatim. So many pshatim on this phrase. Al Mus La Bain. It's Judas La Bain.
Death of the musical director.
Well, no. If you learn that it's a musical director, then that word Al Mus is to be understood as Alomos. And it's a musical instrument called an alomos.
Yes.
I have no idea what kind of musical instrument it was. But there, and it's mentioned, the alomos instrument gets a mention later on in chapter 12. So, alomos is a musical instrument, and Bain is the musician. Amazing, man. All these pshatim. Pshat number five. And this pshat number five is a pshat that Rashi actually favours the most. And he quotes this pshat in the name of Dunash. Dunash ben Lebrat. Dunash ibn Lebrat.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same name, yeah. Dunash ibn Lebrat. It's Lebrat, yeah. Have you heard of Dunash?
Famous
Grammarian. Yeah. Very interesting. He is the composer of De Ra'i Kra. And De Ra'i Kra, Levein and Bas, Ve Yin Sachem. And his name Dunash is there in the initial letters, and it carries on throughout the rest of Drake Kroh. His name is there at least three times. He also is the composer of the piyut that we say at Chasna and at Sheva Brachos before benching. Divai Hoser, V'gamcharon, V'oz Elaim B'sheyaron, Nechenu, V'magle Tzedek, She'ebri Kaspene Yishurin. There's his name Dunash there as well in the initial letter. So Rashi quotes Dunash. And the pshat given by Dunash, which Rashi favours the most, is that there was a man whose name was Labain. Mm-hmm. That's it. And who was he? All we know about him is what we pick up from this one pasuk, because he has no other mention in Tanakh, and he was some enemy of Klal Yisrael. He was a king in some country, and he fought wars against Klal Yisrael, and he lost. So David is now celebrating, and David fought him, and this is one of the, David is celebrating the death of Labain, a man called Labain. And Rashi says, don't be surprised that we have no other mention of Labain, because it can happen that he gets his one mention in Tanakh, and that's it. So there you are, five pshatim in Labain. Now, if you look in the Targum, if you've got the Targum there, the Targum translates Al Mus Labain as Le Shabacha, to praise, that's Lam Natseach, to praise, Al Misosa, on the death, the Gavra of the man, Dinafak, who came out, Mebenei, there's the translation of Labain, Mebenei, from between Mashir Yasa, the camp. So it's so David is celebrating the death of a particular man who came out from between the camps. Now, who on earth is this man? Well, the Mefarshim say it's Goliath. Why? Because the Mefarshim speak about Goliath in Shmuel Aleph chapter Yud Zayin Pasuk Dalet. It says there, Vayetze Ish Habenayim. The man from between the two camps, the camp of the Plishtim and the camp of Yisrael, were opposite each other at either end of an area. And one man, Goliath, came out, and he's called the Ish Habinayim, the man from between. He came out in the Machanas Plishtim, from the camps of the Plishtim. In fact, the Targum on that pasuk says, Unafat Gavra Mibenehu, and a man came out from between them, Mimashirias Plishtoi, from the camp of the Plishtim. So this is the Ish Habinayim, the man from between. Of course, David killed Goliath. And this is the chapter to celebrate the death of Goliath. Interesting. La Bain is Ish HaBainayim. Of course, Bainayim means the man from between, and it's spelled Beis Yud Nun.
Yeah.
Here we haven't got the Yud, it's just Lamed Beis Nun. But the Yud is meant to be implicit, it's to be understood. And Ish HaBainayim is the man who came from between, it's a reference to Goliath. Yeah, La Bain is HaBainayim. There you are, so there's your sixth pshat. The Ibn Ezra brings an interesting kasha on this. He says, if it's a reference to one particular person, for example, the musician called Bain, he says he's not happy with the lamed, La Bain. Similar kasha to the kasha it's brought elsewhere as well. But the Ibn Ezra asks, if it's a reference to La Bain, to a particular man called Bain, then you wouldn't say La Bain, you never say La. La is, of course, short for le-ha, with a hey, how you do with a definite article, to the. Yeah, you would say levain, you wouldn't say labain, you say levain. Like you say le-yitzchok, le-yakev, you wouldn't say la-yitzchok or la-yakev, le-yitzchok. So it should be levain and not la, not labain. That's the kasha that Ibn Ezra asks. In fact, at the end, he agrees in the end with Dunash Ibn Labratz, Pshat, and it's a reference to Goliath. To a man called Labain. That's a kasha that the Ibn Ezra asks. The Radak answers the kasha, and the Radak says, no, it's perfectly reasonable to have La. Why is it reasonable? He says, because it's to pinpoint one particular man. It does seem a bit strange, because we're not used to seeing La before a proper noun of a person's name. But normally it would be La. But the Radak says, no, it's okay, because it pinpoints one particular person. And in fact, the Radak brings also this chat that it's a reference to this musician called Bain. In fact, the Radak... One second, let me check the notes. The Radak's final chat... Yeah, in fact, the Radak, in the end, concludes it's a reference to Goliath. He's quite happy with the pshat that it's a reference to Goliath, as indeed the Targum brought. There's the Tosfos Rid on the another Rishon on these psukim. I'm grateful always to my son Yaakov Chaim, who discovered this sefer for me. I didn't even know I had it. He found it. The Tosfos Rid on the Gemara, also that same Pirush, wrote a Pirush on Tanakh, and or at least on Tehillim. And he says, he answers the Ibn Ezra's kasha. The Ibn Ezra's kasha is, why say la? If it's a reference to one particular person, why say la? Say la. Says the Tosfos Rid, he quotes a couple of psukim where we have a proper noun. It's not the noun of a person's name, but it's a noun of a place. And we still use the definite article. And he quotes a posuk from Shmuel Aleph, chapter Yutes, posuk Kafbeis, where the posuk says about Shaul, who was looking for David, Vayovo Adber HaGadol, he came, Shaul came to a big pit, or a big well, Asher, which was Ba Seichu, in Seichu. Now that's a proper noun of a place called Seichu. And yet the posuk refers to it as Ba Seichu, not Ba Seichu, normally say Ba. I don't know, like Bechevron or something like that, but it's Ba-Seichu, in Seichu. So it's a proper noun, yet we've used the preposition Ba and not Ba. So it's perfectly reasonable to refer to a particular person, like this musician called Bain, with the preposition La-Bain. You find the same thing, Ba-Seichu. You have another posuk as well, Shmuel Aleph, chapter Tezvot, posuk Dalet, where the posuk says, when Shaul was getting his army together to fight against Amalek. The Pasuk says, Vayishama Shaul Esa'om, Shaul announced to all the people, he wanted them all to collect together for the army, Vayif Kedain, and he counted them, Ba Telo'im, in Telo'im. There's a place called Telo'im, he counted them in Telo'im. So again, there's another proper noun, the name of a place, with the preposition Ba and not Ba. Now, that is subject to Machlokas, because some Rishonim learn that when it says he counted them Ba Telo'im, it's doesn't mean the name of a place called Telo'im. It's a reference to sheep, and it's the sheep of the Korban Pesach. He counted them all by seeing how many Korban Pesach they brought. It must have been around Pesach time, and they all brought a Korban Pesach. They all had a toler. They all had a lamb, and he counted them by the number of sheep that they had. So, at any rate, there's a number so you've had the kasha, why say la if it's a person, and we're going to have the answer that this is read, we do find it with some places proper nouns. The Me'iri, he brings another pshat as to who this la bain is. He says it is a reference to a son, Bain. It is the son of David, but it's not Avshalom. It's the other son of David who died. It's the son of David and Bathsheba, who died as a baby. So David married Bathsheba under a cloud, and Nosan Hanovi came to David and gave him this big Musar Drasha, gave him a mussel of the rich man and the poor man, and the poor man has this beloved sheep, and he's very fond of the sheep, and the rich man needs a sheep to feed the visitor, and he steals the sheep from the poor man, and he turns to David and he says, what would you paskin, how would you paskin this man, the rich man, and David says, oh, this man is Chayav Misa, he deserves to die for stealing a poor man's sheep, and Nosan Hanovi says, Atah Ha'ish, you're that man, because you had Uriah Hachiti killed off so that you can marry Bathsheba. And David immediately did Teshuvah, and with his Teshuvah, Nathan HaNavi told him b'nevuah that you've been forgiven of this Aveira, but the son will die. And indeed, Bathsheba became pregnant from this, became pregnant, and she gave birth to a child, and the child died very, very young. And David's reaction was to celebrate. He celebrated the death of his son. It says he ate milk, and the Me'iri and also the Alshich explain this because now he knew for sure that he had a proper kapara. And the Alshich spells it out very clearly on this pasuk. He says that we have a Mishnah in the ninth Perek of Brachos which says Kishem, that in the same way you're chayav to let me get the exact lashon. One second. Oh, here we are. Chayav adam levarich al ha-ra'a, a person's chayav to make a bracha on bad news. We say brach dan ha-emes. Kashem, in the same way shem levarich al ha-tov, in the same way they make a bracha on good news. And the pshat in that is that when a person makes a bracha on good news, he's happy and he celebrates. And when a person makes a bracha on bad news, he should be mekabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the bad news and be so accepting as to almost rejoice with it and to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezeiros besimcha. Says the Alshich, quoting and the same shot as the Me'iri, that this is exactly what David did. He was celebrated the death of his son, he accepted the gezeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his son should die, and with that he turned it all into a big simcha. Why? Because he knew that with this he would have kapara. Nathan HaNavi had said to him, you'll be forgiven from the Aveira, but the son will die. Now that the son died, he knew that indeed he had attained his kapara, he was totally cleansed. And that's pshat in also in the word labain, also being an anagram, well, the same letters as lavon, being whitened, again being having kapara from the avira with Bathsheba. So lots of different pshatim on this.
Except the rest of the Hila has no references to this particular matter.
No, absolutely not. Yeah,
none at all.
Yeah, just strange. Yeah.
And the Gemara also mentioned that David was heartbroken. In fact,
yeah, he was heartbroken after the death of his baby, yeah? He was makabalit. He was makabalit gezira b'simcha. The Me'iri actually settles in the end on the pshat that's Golias. Ish habinayim. You're happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay, now the Yalkut Shimoni brings many, many pshatim on this word almus. I say on this word, it's a machlokus. Whether the word is one word, al-mus, or whether it's two words, al-mus. There's a different, bit of a machlokus as to how to learn it. Norman, do you want to, Norman, if you take a siddur, it's the chap, it's the siddur room here. Okay. So the Yalkut Shimoni brings many pshatim on these words almus, and understanding it from the root ayin lamed mem, taking it as one word ayin lamed mem almus, where the word means to hide or to be hidden, halomo ne'elam, to be hidden. And the Yalkut Shimoni brings many, many occasions when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid things from Klal Yisrael. And the Yalkut Shimoni learns them all into these words, Al-Mus, Ayin Lamed Mem, to hide. So the first one is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hidden the secrets of the Paraduma from us. How the Paraduma essentially is to be Metahe, someone is Tomei, but the one who prepares it, he becomes Tomei. That's hidden, it's a hidden fact from us, we don't know how and why, but that's how it is. Second act of hiding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hidden from us the date of Mashiach's arrival. Yeah, the Kate, the end of time with the Geula. Number three is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hidden from us Schar Mitzvahs. He doesn't want us to know what the reward is for the Mitzvahs. And he explains, the Yalkut Shimoni explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to get two rewards. If we don't know what the reward is going to be, then eventually he can give us a double reward. A reward for having done the mitzvah, and a reward for having trusted blindly in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he will reward us. But what the actual rewards are, we're not told. Ayin lamed mem, all hidden. Number four, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides from us, hides our averus. He gives us kapara and he hides the averus from us. And he whitens our sins. That's again the expression of labein, lovon, to whiten our averus. And secondly, the fifth one is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses Yom HaKippurim, again, to hide away our averus, to give us kapara. To hide our averus. The Yalkut Shemini also adds one other thing concerning. The Yalkut Shemini also mentions that this Labain is this young baby who died, the son of David and Bathsheba, and says that David felt that he was under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's constant gaze and constant glare until that baby died. Once that baby died, and he knew, oh, that's it, I now have my kapara, he felt free from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's watchful, recriminatory gaze. That's another shot wrote by the Yalkut Shemini. The Medrash of Chetuz, which is a special Medrash on Tehillim, brings further pshatim on Haloma, on things that are being hidden from us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he lists three of them. Number one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides from us the day of our death, so we don't know how much time we have. That's hidden from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides also how much tzachar he gives to tzaddikim, similar to what we learned earlier about the reward for mitzvahs. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has also hidden from us the place of Moshe Rabbeinu's burial, the kavura of Moshe. Where Moshe is buried, we have no idea. Even though the psukim at the beginning of Pashas Devarim, where is it? Is it Devarim? Where it is. No. The Pesukim give us so many references, Vayelech it must be, so many references to the geographical location of Moshe's burial place. Nevertheless, we actually have not a clue where he's buried and nobody's ever found. Now, the Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch on this Pasuk brings a whole, he sort of weaves into this Pasuk the whole history of Klal Yisrael. And I looked at it in Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch and couldn't understand a word of it. And I'm grateful to Rabbeinu Artscroll, who took that Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch and made it a little bit more comprehensible to me. And he explains as follows, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the father of Klal Yisrael. We are his children, Bonim Atem, we are his children. That word La Bein is a reference to the fact that we are the sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that entitles us to a very special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The enemies of Klal Yisrael are not going to survive. And whoever the enemies are, whether they are Novel, and he brings a whole list of them, Novel, Avshalom, this King Labain, Goliath, Amalek, Esau, whoever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges them all and judges them for Misa. And that's this word Al-Mus. He judges them all for Misa. Whereas Klal Yisrael are judged Al-Mus, above Misa. Al, meaning above. We are just to supersede Misa. That's Almus. And Klal Yisrael live in two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And that's Almus, being the word Olamos, worlds. We have two worlds, plural. Olam Hazeh, where we do the mitzvahs, and Olam Haba, where we receive our reward. Whereas the nations of the world won't have that. They have their Olam Hazeh. Also, he brings the pshat that Klal Yisrael are like this young child, Elem, the young child, with strength. HaKadosh Baruch Hu infuses us with strength, and that's this word Elem. Likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly hidden from us. That's the Helem. Helem is constantly hidden from us, and he runs the whole world for the sake of Klal Yisrael, but he does so in a hidden manner. So that's this Almus. That's a fair treatment on Pasuk Aleph. Alright, how long is that time? Is that 34 minutes on this Pasuk. Alright. I said the first Pasuk is the hardest one. Yeah, so many shots on that first Pasuk. Right. Should we have a go at another Pasuk? Alright. Ode Hashem b'chol libi. I thank Hashem b'chol libi with all my heart. Asapra, I will tell kol niflo secha all your wonders. I'll tell all your wonders. So Rashi says, what's this idea of telling all your wonders? Well, don't forget that Rashi learns this whole chapter being a reference to the final showdown, the downfall of Amalek and the arrival of Moshiach. So Rashi, sticking to that pshat, says, quotes a pasuk, and the pasuk is in Yirmiyah, chapter 10, Zayin, pasuk Yud Dalet, where the pasuk says, "Lachein hinei yomim boim num Hashem." There's going to come a time, says Hashem, "V'lo yeyom erod." No one will say anymore, "Chai Hashem asher he'el as b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim." No one will take a shavuah by Hashem's name, describing Hashem as the one who brought Klal Yisrael up from Eretz Mitzrayim. Why not? Ki im, rather, people will take a shavuah, "Chai Hashem asher he'el as b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Tzofen." HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who rescued Klal Yisrael from the land of the north, from all the lands where he cast them. In other words, that Yitzias Mitzrayim, for all its wonders and for all its makos, will actually pale into insignificance in comparison with the final arrival of Mashiach. No one will hark back to Yitzias Mitzrayim anymore. That will cease to be the yardstick. The new yardstick will be the Geula Shleima in the days of Mashiach. Says Rashi, that's right, says, "Asapra kol niflosecha," I will tell all your wonders, because the Geula HaAsida, that future redemption, will be as weighty and as powerful as all the future Geulas all rolled into one and more. So that says, "Kol niflosecha," all your wonders, being referenced to the Geula Shlema in the times of Mashiach. The Ibn Ezra looks at these two verbs in the pasuk: "Ode," I will thank, and "Asapra," I will speak out. I thank Hashem b'chol libi, with all my heart, and I will speak out all your wonders. Says the Ibn Ezra, "Ode" is in the heart, belays. It's something that I'll think about, and "Asapra" is what I will verbalize, and I'll actually speak out my thanks. So he makes this difference, you know, I'll start by thinking Hashem just in my heart, b'chol libi, just in my heart, and then I'll take that a stage further and I'll actually express it verbally, asapra, I'll speak it out. That's how the Ibn Ezra lands. The Radak says that once a person thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for one thing, it is normal for him to go on and thank Hashem for all the favours and all the chasadim that he's done over the years. So that's why it says, "Asapra kol miflosecha," I'll thank Hashem, I'll speak out, "Kol miflosecha," all your wonders. I start off by thanking Hashem for one nis, and then I move on and thank Hashem, combine it with all the other nisim as well. The Yalkut Miamloes brings a beautiful chat on this. And then we have machlokes in the Gemara about whether mitzvahs tzrichas kavona, whether mitzvah, if you do a mitzvah, whether you actually need to have kavona to do the mitzvah or not. La halacha, we paskin that a mitzvah d'oraisa tzrichas kavona. If you do a mitzvah d'oraisa, you need to fulfill the mitzvah. Probably you actually need to have kavona, I am hereby performing a mitzvah. Whereas for mitzvahs d'rabbanon, one does not require that extra kavona, and one performs the mitzvah even if one doesn't have the absolute kavona. Says the Yalkut Miamloes, even according to the Man d'Omar, even according to the view that mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavona, you don't need to have kavona when you do a mitzvah, he says, if a mitzvah is a verbal mitzvah, a mitzvah performed by speaking, that is not as demonstrative as a mitzvah that you do with action. Speaking is less of an action than an action, right? So verbalizing something is not as big an action as actually doing something with your dying, by doing something with your hands. So he says, if a mitzvah is a verbal mitzvah, then even according to the Man d'Omar, mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavona. You don't have to have kavana. For verbal mitzvah, you do have to have kavana. To sort of put the mitzvah on the map, it's merely a verbal one. To put that mitzvah on the map, you need to have kavana. So he says, that's why, "Asapra kol miflosecha," I will speak out your wonders, is prefaced with, "Ode Hashem b'chol libi," I've got my mind on the job, "b'chol libi," I'll do it with my heart. Because I can, if I'm doing a verbal mitzvah of asapra, it must be done b'chol libi, with all my heart, because such a mitzvah needs kavana. Interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch speaks about this word, "Ode." "Ode Hashem b'chol libi," I will thank Hashem with all my heart. And he points out a very interesting thing that I kicked myself for not noticing it myself. The verb, "Ode," I will thank, is always, or maybe I should say nearly always, joined with a lamed to the next word. So for example, we say, "Node lecha." We will thank you, node lecha, we thank you. or Moda Manachnu Loch, right? We thank you. Yet here in our pasuk it does not say Ode La Hashem B'chol Libi, I thank to Hashem, with the lamed that you would expect. It's just got Ode. So he translates it differently. He says, I will acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Shimshon von Hirsch, as he always speaks about, that roots in Lashon HaKadosh can be boiled down to a two-letter root, two common letters within a three-letter root. And he says that the root of Odeh is Hey Dalet Hey, which he says is related to Yud Dalet Hey, which is an expression of vidui, to confess, which he says in turn is related to Yud Dalet Ayin. And he connects these, very interesting. You see, the Yud and the Ayin are weaker sounding letters, and the Dalet is the main consonant, so therefore he relates it to Hey Dalet Hey. Hey Dalet Hey being related to Yud Dalet Ayin. And that's why he says it means to know. And the idea is that I acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol Libi, Ode Hashem, and he says it based on the fact that it hasn't got the Lamed after it that you would normally expect. Yeah? Ode Hashem Cholim, acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's your Shin Shon Fal Hash. Pasuk Gimel. You didn't think you'd be that quick, did you? Esmecha, I will rejoice. Ve'e'elso, and I will exalt Voch in you. I've taken that translation from the article. Esmecha ve'e'elso Voch, I will rejoice and I will exalt in you. Azamra Shimcha, I will sing your name Elyon on high. Now the Targum, very interesting Targum on this, which I do not really understand. Targum translates this first part as, excuse me, as Echde, I will rejoice, like Vayichad Yisro, he rejoiced, Ve'evdoch, and I will rejoice again, like a Badchan, as a Chafna, as a Badchan, right? So, Ve'evdoch, I will rejoice. And then this next word, I really don't understand, the Meimroch, which means in your word, or in your saying. Now the pasuk reads, "Ve'el salvoch, I'll rejoice in you." Now, the Targum doesn't mean, says not rejoicing in you, it's rejoicing in your word, which seems to imply, I guess it means in your words of Torah, I suppose. But I haven't seen any explanations on it. That's how I understood it. I will rejoice in your word. Now the Tzidus David points out a very interesting point in this pasuk. He says that we have two verbs here, Esmecha and also E'eltza. I will rejoice. Two expressions for rejoicing. Oh, 1 second. Sorry, no, small mistake on that. No, let's backtrack on that. Mitzvah David says, oh yeah, no, he comments on Azamra Shimcha Elyon, I rejoice with your name on high. What's this word Elyon mean? It's on high, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and beyond all possible praises. We can't really praise him sufficiently, of course, he's beyond all of that, he's above all of that. And that's the idea. Azam Hashimcha, I will sing your praise, Elyon, even though you are way above any possible praise. The Radak learns that, slightly differently on this word Elyon, Hashem is Elyon, Hashem is way on high, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being way above anything and way exalted, can make nothing out of man's endeavors. And it's a reference to the Rishoyim who flex their muscles, and the sort of the Giborim, rather like Goliath and another Rishoyim, that they flex their muscles, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Elyon, from on high, he can simply be Meshaker, he can nullify, all the human strengths that we little humans think we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make it all into nothing. Rav Shimshon von Hirsch has a long section on this pasuk, and all I understood from it was the first two lines. It's worth saying just those two lines. And that is, he says that the root of Esmecha, Sin Mem Ches, to rejoice, Simcha, he says is connected to Tzadi Mem Ches, which is to grow and to sprout. And of course the Sin and the Tzadi are both sibilants, so they have that similarity, and the Rav Shimshon von Hirsch says this Simcha means joy through expansion, through growth. I'm not sure what he meant by that, but it's interesting. He also says that Ayin Lamed Tzadi, which is the root of E'elso, I'll exalt you, Ayin Lamed Tzadi, he says, is related to Ches Lamed Tzadi. Ches Lamed Tzadi, like Chalitza, which he says is to break a bond, to break a constraint or to break a restriction. So, but the rest of what he wrote, I'm afraid, was a little bit beyond me. Okay. Pasuk Dalet. Yeah. Pasuk Dalet. B'shuv oyvai achar, when my enemies retreat backwards, Yikoshlu, they will stumble, v'yovdu miponecha, and they will be destroyed miponecha from before you. Said the Mitzvah David, what we have here are two things. The enemy will do two things. He says they will, number one is Yikoshlu, on their way back, as they retreat, as the enemy retreats, Yikoshlu, they'll stumble, v'yovdu, and they'll be destroyed. That's a double downfall of the enemy. First he trips, and then he's destroyed. Says the Mitzvah David, that is a double victory over the enemy, which is reflected in the previous pasuk by a double lashon of simcha of esmecha ve'eltsa. It's two expressions of simcha because of the two downfalls of the enemy, yikoshlu and v'yovdu. That's how the Mitzvah David learns. The Ibn Ezra points out that he says after the he says if we're referring to this king Laban. This enemy, after this king Laban has died, so the enemy just gave up. You know, with their leader gone, they gave up. And the Radak says something very similar concerning Goliath. Let's get the Radak learns the chapter deals with Goliath, and he says that he quotes the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it's chapter Yud Zayin pasuk Nun Aleph, where the pasuk says, "Vayira haPelishtim ki meis giborom." The Pelishtim all saw that their mighty hero Goliath was dead. Vayonusu, and they fled. So they gave up the ghost as soon as they saw that their leader had died, so they also gave up. And he says that's the pshat in this pasuk. The Shuv Ovayacha, when my enemies retreat, is a reference to the Pelishtim all on the run from David's armies, on the run from Klal Yisrael, once their leader Goliath had died. Okay, pasuk. So we're moving a bit. Ki osisa mishpati v'dini, when because you've done my judgment and my law, says David, Yoshavta, maybe you should translate it as when you do my judgment and my law, Yoshavta lechisei, you sit on the throne, Shofei Tzedek, of the righteous judge, or you sit judging righteously on your throne. And it's the idea being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs judgment, and to perform judgment, he sits on some judging throne, a kisei, a throne specially reserved for some kind of judgment. The Rashi points out, and it's brought in the Medrash as well, that mishpati v'dini are very similar words, and end of cassette. Do you mind if I just go back in that last section for the sake of the so Rashi points out that these words mishpati v'dini are very similar words, and in fact the Medrash points out that there are, and the Medrash says, I don't really understand it, there are apparently five occasions in Tanakh where you have literally identical words juxtaposed. They're different words, but they mean identical things juxtaposed, mishpati v'dini, one after the other. So Radak points out that this mishpat, what's this judgment that David is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? Well, remember the Radak learns the whole chapter is a reference to Goliath. Says Radak, you performed my judgment because Goliath was armed to the teeth. And the Pesukim described his armor as being phenomenal armor that he had. Like, this guy was like a war machine. You know, he was a war machine. And by natural laws of war, David didn't stand a chance. It was like a joke, you know, David against Goliath, a joke. Yet, David threw this stone at Goliath, and it hit Goliath in the one exposed part of his body, on his forehead, and says to Radak, that was mishpat. That was careful judgment, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking aim on behalf of David, that he should hit Goliath in the one exposed part of his entire body on his forehead. And even with that, as a matter of fact, it's a slight conflict there with the Medrash. There's a Medrash which is brought in, where is this now? It's in one of the Mefreshim on the Tor in Hilchus Bris Mila, that in the times of the Torah, when they did a Bris Mila, they used a stone like Tziporah, Vatikach Tziporah Tzer. She took a flint stone to do the Bris Mila on her son. Stone was always used. Now we always use a knife, metal knife. Why? When David took aim at Goliath, he was totally covered by his head was covered by this metal helmet, and the Medrash says, and it's a Medrash brought to one of the Mefarshim on the Torah, he says that David davened that the metal of the helmet should give way to the stone. Now David had a stone. Now normally a stone hit at a metal helmet, the stone would just bounce off, but it didn't. The metal gave way, Peterechnes, the metal gave way to the stone that that David fired, and therefore we now give covered to metal over stone by doing a bris mila with a metal knife instead of with a stone. Yeah? That's what we do. We give covered to metal rather than a stone now, because all bris milas are done with the Ismail, and the Ismail is a knife made of metal. So why? Because the metal on the helmets of Goliath gave way to the stone that David threw. So maybe there's a slight conflict there that it hits.
It's like saying we honour the metal now.
We honour the metal, exactly. We honour the metal over stone. Yeah, over stone by doing a bismillah with metal. So maybe there's a slight conflict there between these two shots. And according to the Radak, the part that on the forehead where Goliath was hit was an exposed part of his body, and there was the mishpat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed David to take such careful aim. Oh. Yeah, let's see. Yashavta lechisei. Oh yes, the Radak points out Yashavta lechisei is a strange expression. Normally it would say Yashavta al kisei. Maybe Yashavta bechisei, but not Yashavta lechisei. And Radak points out there's no difference. Yashavta lechisei is as good as Yashavta bechisei or bechisei. That, by the way, the Malbim says there's a different shot on that. The Malbim says, I don't really understand the Malbim, and I haven't given it enough time on the Malbim, that the Yashavta lechisei means sitting for a protracted period of time on a chair or on a throne. He says to be Yoshev al is for a short amount of time, but to be Yoshev la is for a long period of time. Okay, I don't really understand that. Now, the Alkut Miyam Lois speaks on this Yashalta Bechisei Shofet Tzedek, that David HaMelech is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this mishpat. What's this mishpat that has taken place? Says the Yalkut Me'amloes that David praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a decision made, a mishpat made by the Sanhedrin, which went in David's favour. Now, initially, David's whole Yiddish status was very much in question. Because David was a direct descendant from Rus, Hamu, or Via, and the Chachamim of his time understood that someone from Moab cannot become a Ger. It's impossible. We don't accept Gerim from Moab. And therefore, if we don't accept Gerim from Moab, then David's great-great-grandmother, if I've got that right, or maybe it's great-grandmother, I can't remember now, David's ancestress, Rus, was not really Jewish. And if she wasn't Jewish, then what does that make David? It means he's descended from a non-Jew. It doesn't look too good. And his whole status was held under question. And here's a man who's proclaiming himself as a melech. He's not Jewish. So the Sanhedrin eventually came round to the accepted psak halacha, namely that, yes, we don't accept gerim from Moab, but that's only Moavi velo Moaviyah. It's only a man whom we will not accept as a ger, but we would accept a lady from Moab as a gioress. So therefore we do accept Rus as being a fully fledged gioress. Well, once the Sanhedrin made that decision, David is expressing his gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Ki asisa mishpati v'dini, you've done my mishpat for me. You got the Sanhedrin to judge in my favor." Yeah. Now in this pasuk, we have, says the Alkham Amlois, we have, according to the Pshatim, that Labain is this anagram of novel. He says there's a remez in this pasuk to novel. What's the remez? Well, the Pesukim say in Shmuel Aleph, it's Shmuel Aleph chapter Kaf Hei, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, by Yomos Libo Bekirbo, novel suffered some kind of heart attack. He didn't die, but he suffered a heart attack. V'hu hayo le'evem. Or maybe Suhuaya La'oben. His heart became like a stone inside him. Then later on, it says, there was a 10-day gap, Vayihika Aseret HaYomim, or approximately 10 days later, Vayigoth Hashem Es Novel, Hashem smote Novel, Vayomos, and he died. Now, these 10 days, say Chazal, and it's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, says that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited 10 days for him to do Teshuvah. Sid Nabal would do Teshuvah. And he didn't. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had him killed on Yom HaKippurim. And the 10 days that he waited were the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Yeah? Says the Yalkut Me'amelis, now we know that it all took place at the time of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Go back to our Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk. Where are we? Pasuk Hey. Kirasisa Mishpati Vedini, Yoshavta Lechisei, Shofei Tzedek. These are the days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in Mishpat. These are the days in Mishpat. Yashavta Lechisei, Shofei Tzedek. You, the righteous judge, are sitting in judgment over us, punct in those 10 days of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. So, says the Alchemy of Noes, according to those Pshatim, that La Bain is not Vol, it's a very nice remez in our Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in Mishpat in the Kleisol at that time. Now the Al-Sheikh gives another pshat.
Yes, he was judged for 10 days, novel.
He was judged for 10 days. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for 10 days to see if he would do Teshuvah. Right. And he didn't.
Yeah.
And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed him. And those were the 10 days. And he died on Yom Kippur. Now the Al-Sheikh, there's a huge amount of Al-Sheikh on this whole chapter, and I hardly understood any of it. But this one gem I must tell you. And that is, so the Al-Sheikh learns that this Labain, who is this Labain we had in Pasuk Aleph? He says that was the son of David and Bathsheba, who died as a baby. Now, says the Pasuk, in our Pasuk, Yasiso Mishpati Vidini, you did my judgment. Says the Al-Sheikh, what happened? Nothan Hanavi comes to David, and he gives him this moshel of the rich man and the poor man, and the poor man's got this beloved sheep, and the rich man steals the sheep. So he says to David, no, how do you paskin? And David said, this rich man is chayv misa, deserves to die. And Nosson HaNovi turns and says, oh, atah ish, you are that man. Says David, in our pasuk, that was my judgment. I was the one who decided that this rich man should die, not realizing that I was that man in the moshel. Ki asisa, you carried out by killing my baby son, says David, you have done mishpati v'dini, you've carried out my judgment, the one that was my decision. I was one who, I made that suck that the rich man deserves to die, and you took me up on that, so to speak, and you took the judgment that I was deserved to die. Sort of, yeah. He didn't realize what Nosson HaNovi was telling him, but he said in this story that the rich man deserves to die, and of course Nosson says, oh, you are that man.
His baby, his extension of himself.
Exactly, yeah. He said, but he was the one who took that decision. It's mishpati, it's my judgment. I was the one who gave the psak that the rich man is chayav to die. Good. I can't see the clock. It's like 11, isn't it? Good. All right, should we leave it there? So we finish Pasuk, okay? Mitzvah Hashem will continue next week. Mitzvah Hashem, with Pasuk God.